That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined, as always, with Kyle and Hank, boys.
Hello.
Singular hello.
Singular hello.
No Hank once again this week. Didn't want to press him for details as to why he couldn't make it, but we assume there's some situation going on with his new gig, slinging sheds. So we'll have an update on that eventually, but we'll try to keep everything positive going here forward. That's how you structure a
positive
sentence.
Going forward. Yep.
Yep. Packers 10-37 beat the Minnesota Vikings. Sorry,
one seed.
The one seed. Which
one seed?
It's been locked up mentally for about a month, I think.
I wouldn't say locked up.
Once we got to the playoff prediction, one seed at 60 something percent, that's when I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think it was prior to the Ravens game, maybe, where it was, if as long as they win out their one seed, yeah, it was like, okay, regular season begins. Now let's complete the four-game regular season of locking up home field advantage, and now we're on to the postseason.
Yeah, finally, and it's it's weird because in our stupid, you know, podcast, the way we've framed it is, okay, you know, this is all preseason. We've had postseason that last couple weeks, and now it's like, all right, we're back to preseason again for this last week.
Yeah, hopefully, not to get ahead of myself, but yeah, hopefully the starters only, you know, play. I don't know what camp you're in about playing them, not playing them.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get to see a lot of 10 and maybe a little better game plan this time from LaFleur for 10.
Yeah, we'll talk about that with Take News, the rest versus rust.
Oh, okay.
But nice. I mean, shit, the fact that we got to see a little sprinkle of Jordan Love in this game was nice in itself.
Some nice throws.
Wasn't expecting that.
I'm liking
very
what
rarely.
I'm seeing.
I think the worst bold prediction I had was Tim Boyle touchdown in 2019 for week 17 when we played the Lions, and that was of course the year two where we did not lead during regulation whatsoever, and you know, we were kind of taking a little victory lap in those predictions there. But
yeah, funny enough, my worst bold prediction was actually probably last week. I predicted Juwan Winfrey score a touchdown, and I don't think he saw a snap.
I
was under the assumption that like the whole tight end room was out.
Yeah, that's true.
And MVS, I think, was still on COVID at the time. So yes. I was thinking he was going to get snaps, but that's dumb. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it was kind of back and forth there, too, because even when Jordan Love came in, I was like, oh, shit, he's going to get it on this last series here with Jordan Love. But, I mean, God, Kyle, we got to just talk about again. Oh, 14 snaps for Juwan Winfrey in this game, by the way. So there you go.
Like offensive snaps?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's actually a lot more than I can't remember.
But once again, can't say it enough, this year we are so blessed. It's honestly like we are numb of the goodness that this team brings us at this point. I talked to you before we started recording, but it's like, you know, we're just missing one little big thing that makes these past couple of years better. But this is the first Packers team ever to go back-to-back-to-back 13 win seasons. Matt LaFleur, obviously the first coach to ever do that as well.
Unbelievable.
We legitimately could not ask for anything more, yet we always find things to complain about.
Of course. I mean, that's the point of the pod, is to complain and air our frustrations, but then also celebrate the goodness, like you said, the three straight 13 win seasons. Like, that's so ridiculous. And it just makes me laugh even more when fan bases like try to, you know, criticize the, two Super Bowls in 30 years. And it's like, I kind of like pity them at this point because they're so bitter probably about their friend, unless you're like one of five franchises. Like no one has had success like the Packers have had over the past
Yeah.
30 years. And it's just, it's awesome.
And even when we struggled, you know, like 2018, like I just saw this tweet today with the Pittsburgh Steelers having 18 seasons in a row without a losing record.
That's, wow.
Bonkers. And I, you know, I was wondering, just scrolling to see where the Packers were. And we were like sixth or seventh, you know, for, because we've had like 4 years in a row or whatever without a, or 3 years in a row without a losing record. And that's still like the top fourth, you know, top 25% in the league for that, which it's like, you know, I was like, oh man, those 2 years really sucked. And once again, goes back to we're so fucking blessed. We don't even realize what's, you know, how good we have it right now. But yes, we'll talk about this game. Packers 137-10. We'll have our pick six. Oh,
ended that poverty franchise this season. God, I mean, officially, I know they were pretty much out of it prior to kick, but to just really, you know, put the final nail in and then, you know, pour concrete around it and cement it shut.
There you go. Concrete,
feels,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know what I'm talking
about.
Mm-hmm. That is just, it's just the best feeling, especially when just looking back at the reaction to the game in US Bank that they won. It just, it just makes me soak in this so much more and much more appreciative.
When the Vikings won that game, it's almost like not like I was going around a bunch in the city, but like I said, I went to Target and I got shit from some little snobby nose doucher.
See?
And now it's like after this game, it's just like, you know, life is gone in the city for the most part. But I mean, it is just ridiculous again for how much shit we were getting for when that happened. And I mean, do we want to just talk about the Paul Allen stuff right now? That
please,
is
please.
That is the best. So please. Once again, we talked about it before. Paul Allen's little clip. Should we throw it in here?
Yes.
Okay, we'll throw it in right here.
This was right off the heels of the Vikings. Well, obviously, probably context would tell you that, but right off the heels of the Vikings victory in U.S. Bank this year.
Yeah, you're baiting me right now because you saw what happened right before this. And you know what? I'm going to take the high road on this Green Bay Packers coach looking at me saying, you better not talk into that microphone and give your team any credit. I'm going to take the high road on it and say I'm very impressed with the Green Bay Packers. Finding a way to win 8 games despite all those injuries, A-Rod's toe, COVID, line, and everything. So I'm not, you know, going to say to that coach what I wanted to say. Like, you can go ahead and put Eric Stokes on Justin Jefferson the rest of his career. And like he did in 2019 when he was with LSU and Stokes was with Georgia, he killed him. And he killed him again today, and he will kill him every single time they meet. So I'm going to end it right like that. I got to say, in my 20 years of calling Vikings games, that's about the first time I've ever had a coach say something like that to me. So best of luck to you guys the rest of the way. And quite honestly, I hope you lose every single freaking game the rest of the year.
Like I said before, it's like, okay, sure, some, you know, friendly rivalry ribbing. But he's like, I'm going to be a professional or whatever the hell he says. And then he keeps going. It's like, what are you talking about? But like I can't remember if I said this before, but the coach he's talking about, once again, it's not Matt LaFleur.
I mean, there was 0% chance it was Matt LaFleur. Yeah. Even before we knew, it was like, yeah, there's no way that was.
And if it was Matt LaFleur, it's like you would know it. He said it jokingly.
Right.
The whole,
yeah.
You know, don't say you guys deserve to win. It was Jerry Gray. It was Jerry Gray who spent close to a decade,
right,
I think, in Minnesota. So it was like, I assumed it was some friendly ribbing. But of course, Paul Allen, the one time he can snap back at the Packers and he says, coach, not someone he has a history with, because I'm sure they talked. He was the defensive back coach forever there. But yeah, and then PA makes it into some big thing. I hope they don't win another game. We haven't lost another game, and they've just gone down the shitter ever since.
Yeah, yeah. And whether Vikings fans like it or not, Paul Allen is your figurehead. He represents all of you. And I'm sure there's plenty of Vikings fans who kind of sort of share a similar disdain that we do have for him, where he's maybe a little too much and a little too, like, I understand as the home radio guy, you have to be skewed towards the team that,
for sure,
you know, you're calling, but I think he takes it too far and is way too much fan speak. But anyways, whether you like it or not, he represents you. And when I say, like, oh, Vikings fans are the worst, like, I'm talking about people like him, because he has opinions and just like that I'm sure get regurgitated all around the state of Minnesota by Vikings fans. And it's just, he's just the biggest loser. Like, and they're not even good at losing. They lose at losing. I came across, I don't follow him, hell no, on Twitter, but I came across his feed and he still managed to find a way to complain about the refs in that game.
That's
and
right.
That is just so amazing to me. And that's what I mean by, you lose at losing. Like you are such a loser in a game that finished 37-10 to make any sort of comment at all about the referees. It's just it's perfect Viking fan takeaway from that game to say something about the refs. And I think, like, what was it, Bart Winkler or something, he really put it perfectly. He had a tweet, he's like, Vikings fans are truly the worst fan base. Like,
yep.
It's not hard to be a fan, yet every small accomplishment they have is like landing on Mars. It's like the biggest deal ever. And then when they're bad and you whoop their ass, they like give you shit for whooping their ass. It's like they're so jaded and just used to failing that any taste of success is the biggest deal and any failure is just not a big deal.
You put it perfectly when you said that Paul Allen is like the face of that franchise, kind of, because
for their fans, 100%.
I hadn't thought of that before, but they really do just kind of follow their lead, like you said with the Winkler tweet. It really is. It's like the way Paul Allen calls the games too. When something great happens, he is yelling on the top of his lungs, letting everyone know what happened. And then when something positive happens for the other team, he's borderline whispering into the microphone.
Yep.
A good chunk of the time.
Like, whether you like it or not, like, he represents you. Like, and thankfully, like, we got Wayne Larrivee. That yep. guy's a pretty stand-up guy. Obviously, he's Packer bias and calls it, you know, emotionally in their favor, but he's yeah. not like,
and we're biased too, but right. he's
not a jackass.
He doesn't do that shit. And once again, we're seeing everything through our, you know, green and gold lenses, but I can't remember like other teams having such bad calls, you know, because we had the whole gamut before I posted on Twitter, the Cardinals lost years ago, the missed field goal this year, all these things. And it's like PA has just these demoralizing calls. And it's yes. like, I can't think of any other color commentary.
It's so wonderful. And yeah, I should probably have prefaced this. Like, I just mean Paul Allen is a loser in the sense of football consumption and fandom. Like, he's obviously very successful. I mean, I think he started, like,
yeah,
he got his gig by calling races at Canterbury, which is actually pretty cool. I mean, he's made a career out of loving hearing his own voice, which is, I mean, kind of something what we're aspiring to. So
yeah. But yeah, I mentioned that before. It's, you got to kind of admire that, coming from nothing to be the Vikings. Whatever. That's enough. That's
but
enough.
Yeah, strictly football consumption and Viking fandom, the absolute biggest loser.
Yeah, fuck them. But yes, as we were saying, we will have the pick six plays that shaped the game.
That was cathartic.
I'm sure we'll have more little tangents like that talking about this stupid fucking. But yeah, we'll have our pick six plays that shaped the game. After that, we'll talk about the offense, the defense, and even the special teams that were, might I say, average.
Whoa.
In this game. We'll have take news, probably just talk about, you know, rest versus rust. We'll have his Kyle and Idiot, some Packers trivia. And then we'll have whatever we have for a preview of the Detroit Lions game. But first, pick six.
Yes, one seed.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six. Yes!
All right, the first pick six play for this game. Vikings have the ball. It's 3-0 Packers already. They're at Green Bay's 47-yard line, going for it on fourth down. Vikings opening drive. Mannion drops back, absolute stud, rolls to the right, you know, just stares down his fullback, CJ Ham, Duluth
yeah,
native, you know,
right.
across the border from where we're from, but
Hunters.
Throws it to Ham, Preston in coverage, does not catch the ball, turnover on downs, and that was like, you know, someone like Mannion, we don't know anything about him, we assume he's bad, and that was the first, like, okay, the offense is bad, and hopefully we'll start rolling after this.
Yeah, but to be fair to Mannion, not sure I really understand that play call. I don't...
Clint Kubiak play? You don't understand?
Yeah, I just, like, I love a good rollout play, where you're getting the guys, you're getting the linemen out, and whatever, creating space, but, like, I just don't understand it on like gotta have it down, like
yeah.
a fourth down, you're cutting the field in half right away, and it's like and you're taking the left side of the field and whoever was lined up on the left side out of the play. I don't get it.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago with the Ravens game, their 2-point conversion
play. Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty much the same thing, which is funny because that was Huntley, who seems to be a decent quarterback, and Mark Andrews, one of the best tight ends in the league, and this was a bad quarterback and a fullback, you know, running out for a pass.
Right.
So even less likely for that to happen. But
yeah, like you said, and you kind of alluded to it about Kubiak, but yeah, Vikings fans, the group chat I'm in. Oh my God. Are they, they've been pounding the table about Clint Kubiak getting fired off into the sun since September. It's they are really fed up with him, and it brings me joy.
And I forgot that Zimmer's son was part of that staff too. So the offensive
Which staff?
The Viking staff. So Clint,
right now?
Yeah, Clint Kubiak is the offensive coordinator, and Zimmer's son is the co-defensive coordinator. They have two.
Oh.
They have two co-defensive coordinators, and then Mike Zimmer, who runs the defense, which right there, it's like...
Nepotism, baby.
It's very funny how it kind of mirrors like Mike McCarthy's last days with the Packers, too. You know, how he kind of had play calling, got rid of it, and then got rid of some responsibilities, was less with the team. But I...
Because prior to Clint... being the OC, wasn't it Gary?
Yeah.
So it was just a seamless transition.
He retired and he was like, hey, can you make my son the... And there was a little, not a hit piece, but an article that came out this week too, talking about the nepotism in the Minnesota Vikings. Some unnamed source, a former player, which once again, very well might have been our guy, Rashad Breeland.
Oh.
After getting cut, which would be hilarious. But this is one part that I found really funny in the article. So it's Adam Zimmer. And now, great tangent, of course, talking about the Vikings on a Packers podcast. But Adam graduated college in 2006 and immediately began his NFL coaching career in New Orleans as a coaching assistant on Sean Payton's staff, where Mike Zimmer had spent three seasons, you know, with him in Dallas before that. Adam went to Kansas City as the assistant linebackers coach for three seasons on Romy Crennel's staff, and he was arrested on suspicion of DUI when he crashed his car a few hours after the Chiefs lost to the Colts December 2012, don't remember this. And after that, he got hired onto the Bengals staff to be an assistant defensive backs coach, coaching for his dad in Cincinnati. So it's like,
wow,
this guy's career should have been done.
So yeah, like he So yeah, it's not even like he really like made a name for him. Well, made a name for himself in the wrong ways.
Yes.
But then just, yeah, had to get hired by his pops to get back in the league. That is, yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, just once again, a sad poverty franchise. Mm-hmm. They can only hire from within. And
that's
it's
right.
always just terrible on top of
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I guess thankful. I mean, let's hope they keep hiring very poorly. And
yeah, I mean, shoot, we hired their best defensive coach that they had.
Yes.
And they just left with all the shit. But
that's right.
Yeah, after that, still 3-0 Packers ball.
Second play, I believe this was, yeah, so they settled for some field goals. Kind of, yep. Offense was moving the ball, but kept sputtering a little bit. So there's 4-11.
We were wondering if we're going to get into that red zone, you know, dysfunction again. But that's quickly.
4-11 left in the second quarter at 2nd and 5. Rodgers take the snap. He does a little pump to the left. It's, you know, I'll be honest. It's hard to find criticism of 12, but allow me.
I loved it. It was a nice slow. It was. You knew something.
No,
big
it was like it was a little
that.
Too quick. I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was pronounced enough.
Once again, this is Once where we're at with the... Aaron Rodgers. He's so good. We are
criticizing his pump fakes.
Yes,
and it actually kind of reminded me of like the pump fake that Peyton Manning used to do, just a little doof. Mm. And
kind of a Favre one too, kind of. A
oh sure,
dude. Yeah.
Yep. But then he, you know, does a little pump to the left, lofts it up to the right. Not the prettiest football in the air. It looked a little wobbly. I can't imagine it was tipped, because then I feel like the landing would have been in a much different spot. But jump ball to number 13, Alan Lazard. Beautiful catch. A catch that just you can physically see the trust building between 12 and 13 there. And came down with it. A little fight. A little scrum at the end. I was kind of worried it was going to be one of those where like the guy with the purple helmet pops up with it, but that was not the case. Touchdown.
Yeah, and I like how he just laid down because he was wrestling with it, and then he just laid down like he was posing.
And he did the swimsuit pose. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and once again, that was my woohoo ball of the game. Watching it, I was
you allow yourself one woohoo ball.
That's usually how it ends up, especially this one, because after that the game is, you know, pretty much toast for you know, in my mind.
Yep.
But yeah, just airing it up, and like you said, seeing the little wiggle on the ball, I was like, and then it comes down perfect. I'm like, oh, that should not have happened, but whatever, I'll take it.
And usually Rodgers deep balls like that don't have that much hang time.
It was
like
kind
that,
of a Hail Mary.
That really hung in the air.
It just dropped right down where it needed to
he's
be.
He's gotten so damn good at like finding the balance of lofting it, but also darting it. Like he's the best in the world.
Especially this year. He is turning to that wily old vet, you know, instead of the gunslinger fastballs right down the middle, it is some of those lofts to like the running back and shit. Like, you know, I think the Ravens game is when he had a couple of them. But yep, 13-0. After that, the next pick, 6 play. I actually have two of them here because it was back-to-back plays, and it's just, once again, we can't say enough good things about these guys. Aaron Rodgers first on second and four pass to the right to Davante Adams for 17 yards. This was one of several of the late hands where he just somehow wrestles it in, circles around, right on the sideline, walks out, points to his helmet right after.
Oh, my God.
And then the very next play, Rodgers drops back, kind of, you know, sitting in the pocket a little bit, and a bit of a sidearm throw right down the middle. Davante Adams wide open, and it's just, once again, you...
And there is your yeah. dagger!
Yeah, that made it 20-0, and it's just... We're numb to greatness at this yes. point. That's really what it yes. is. We can't say it enough, but it's like the good plays we can't even celebrate anymore because it just happens so goddamn often.
We really are witnessing something that we unfortunately probably won't ever see again in our life. Like this sort of like, and I think Rodgers mentioned it in one of his pressers or maybe with, I think on the Manning cast last night where he's like, he's talking about Davante and he's like, you know, I got great chemistry with all my guys, all my receivers, but no more than 17. Sometimes it's literally, it feels like an extension of my mind is out there. And that's honestly what it looks like, too.
Yes.
Like, they just, it's unbelievable how, I don't know if you mentioned it, they make it look so effortless that, like, it's sometimes hard to get excited about.
Yeah,
it's
no, like, that's exactly
you,
that's
it. It looks
exactly
like you're it. Not even trying, and you're not even excited about it. So it's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, if it didn't look hard, why should I celebrate what yeah. you just did? But yeah, and you know, you mentioned it there too. When we started the podcast 3 years ago, I think I said something like, "Yeah, Devontae's great, but he's not like Jordy because Jordy and Rodgers were just on a different level mm-hmm. for like you're saying that knowing what they're going to do." And now it's like
a level above that.
It's stupid. Once again, they could be playing in the dark and they'd be in the right spot. Ball would be there. Everything. It is tough because it's like, has there really been a better duo? It's like. And what now I sound like a fanboy, but it's like Joe Montana and freaking Jerry Rice and Steve Young and
whatever QB receiver duo you can think of, they are absolutely in that conversation. I don't care anyone in the history of ball, 100% they're in that conversation already.
I think over the last three seasons, Davante Adams has the most touchdowns by like 10. Which is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
if you keep going back a year further, like that gap widens. It keeps yeah. widening.
Yeah, probably because, I mean, shit, even the year with, well, he did have the down year, I guess I would assume with Rodgers, the last one. But even the Hundley year, that's
there was,
when you
there
knew
was
he
a
was
couple,
good.
There was a couple years there before he was the undisputed best in the world where he would have like 800 receiving yards but 11 touchdowns.
Exactly, because it took him a while until he had his first 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, yeah, I remember stupid. That was, I think he finished with 997 twice.
Yes.
That's actually amazing to do.
Yeah, ridiculous.
All right, so wow, good tangent there. Just if we just keep going on Rodgers, Davante... Like, if we just make this a Rodgers-Davante pod, I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot to talk about.
All right. The fourth pick six play, and probably my favorite of the entire year.
Ooh.
It is the third quarter, 13 minutes and 32 seconds left because the Vikings stink. Sean Mannion stinks even louder. And they had to punt because they went 3-and-out. And David Moore catches the ball and gets a nice 21-yard return. And such, I don't know if he intended to do this. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say this is just savvy. Okay. But the way he like was running out of bounds and slowed up, I honestly think he almost like was baiting someone to come hit him. And someone came, you know, dove at his ankles and got 15 more. And just like the best punt return of the entire year. Guy just signed 5 minutes ago
yeah.
and is already like, okay, yep, this is the guy going forward. Don't let anyone else stand back there. Like, this is him. And yeah, great punt return. And then set them up on, I think, like the Vikings 30, which I was thinking about. I mean, that's got to be excluding turnovers, obviously. That's got to be the best field position they've gotten all year to start a drive.
Yeah.
I mean, no question.
Yeah, it has to be. There's no because either on downs or
because even when
turnover,
like
yeah.
even when teams would punt from their own end zone, like the best they could do is bring it to like the 47. Like
for sure. And this was the longest punt return since 2018, I believe. It's and there's so many. Well, you might as well finish off the play there too, because eventually it got to AJ Dillon rumbling in for his first touchdown.
Yeah, when they got that field position, they were going to score, and yeah, AJ Dillon.
Yeah, made it 27-3. But even with Moore now, it's it's funny because even his first punt return was the one where he got hit, you know, late, and they said he was blocked into the guy, which was kind of a suspect.
Oh, that was a weird call.
Yeah, it was a weird call, but I like these refs. Once again, this was a good game.
Let
I
him guess play.
It got out of hand pretty quickly, but they did just let him play. But it's funny because it's like the way we've seen Amari Rodgers return punts all season is he's very timid. And Moore had the worst type of hit of any punt returner really all year was that one when he's trying to call a fair catch. Like, that's the shit you would be timid about.
Right.
And he comes right back and has two great returns.
That's actually a really good point that, yeah, now it's like, it almost like grows my conviction of him. It's like, oh shit, he takes a nasty hit, but then, yeah, he comes back and does that. Hell yeah.
It would be special teams malpractice if Amari Rodgers is back there. I feel bad. Yep. He's obviously struggled this year. We've said it before. You know, he's the one guy everyone was really looking forward to coming out of the draft, and now he's probably been the biggest disappointment out of this draft, but that happens a lot. Look at Devontae Adams. We'll see what happens with Amari Rodgers. But yeah, 27-3 after that. Moving on to the next pick six play. A second and three. This was, you know, probably the one good moment for everyone watching.
Yeah, I mean, because the game's over at this point. Now we're just having fun.
Yeah, second and three, doesn't matter. Mannion pass, short middle to the tight end Conklin. Amos absolutely destroys him. He gets hurt on the
great hit.
Ball flies up in the air and is caught by one Garrett Bradbury, the center for the Minnesota Vikings, who they took over Elgton Jenkins, catches it. And I mean, that's probably the best. I mean, it has to be the best play of Bradbury's career.
Oh God. Yeah. And that was, I mean, that was a snag. That was, I was truly impressed by that.
Just rumbles forward for 21 yards. And it's like, there we go. The Kyle drop of the phone every week.
Damn it.
But it was, you know, Amos saw him coming, and it's like he was in disbelief. Like, what is, like, he had to double take to know what was going on.
I mean, he
on.
Makes that fucking great hit, and then gets up and starts, like, celebrating as he should have. And then it's like, oh, and then Bradbury, God, that guy's a load. He should change positions. He took a few guys to bring him down, and he kind of gave a nice pop to Savage and sent him back a few yards. But, thankfully got him down.
I'm sure a lot of other teams have weird, like, offensive lineman plays, but it did remind me of that Patriots kickoff return.
One of the
several Matt Flynn
just kept
games back
rumbling.
Yeah, and after that, the Vikings do eventually score a touchdown, making it 32-10.
Six play again. Game was over at halftime. Game was over with a minute left before halftime, but
this
now we're just
having
fun.
This forward to the future, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Out of shotgun. 8 minutes left in the fourth, first and goal, hands it off to AJ Dillon. And we've mentioned before, like, guys just don't look enthused to try and tackle AJ Dillon. Yeah. And that was the case here. There was three purple hats and no yellow hats. And they wrapped him up at like the 3 or 4 yard line, and he just easily tumbled in. It just rolled right through him.
It was like one Blake Martinez and two HaHa Clinton Dizzy's. It's like Blake came in, made the initial hit, and the two guys behind him, the HaHas, were like, oh, kinda, well, I assume that he's going to bring him down, but
yeah,
nope.
Let me just try and take credit here. But
kept running through.
Just rolled right through him.
His second touchdown of the game, and, I mean, we could talk about A.J. Dillon very quickly here, or, I mean, the running backs.
Let's just transition right into the running backs.
Ooh, you want to do that? Okay, we can do that. So, after this game, I like how we broke a lot. I'm an owner. Broke a lot of records in this game, too, so you can look at it and be like, well, the 17th game, but actually 16th.
I have been thinking about this so much where I'm like, I almost want to make a disclaimer where, like, any sort of record or tweet that gets sent out next week where it's like, oh, single season, like, I just instantly discredit because it's like, nope, that's not real to me. But so yeah, good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
But this was the fourth time a pair of Packers running backs had 1,000 yards or more each from scrimmage. It was the first time since 1980 when Eddie Lee Ivory and Jerry Ellis did the same thing. Jerry Ellis is one of the more
Jerry.
He's actually one of the, I'm pretty sure it's Jerry Ellis. I should know more, but he's like one of the best Packers of all time. Like, he had all the rushing records for, you know, back in the day we had Jim Taylor and Paul Hornung and all those guys, you know. I think Tony Canedo was a running back too. But this guy like broke a lot of those records back in the 80s when the Packers were, you know, really bad. Right. So it was like, oh, there we go. His name popped up.
Heck, but yeah.
Once again, I mean, it's kind of what we expected from A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones coming into this season. It's funny, once again, like Hank has brought up a ton how, you know, that week two game against the Lions, all the announcers are like, oh, wow. They missed Jamal. They missed Jamal Williams and not really so much.
Not really at all. Especially, I miss the personality, of course. Yes. That goes without saying.
But hey, A.J. Dillon's carried that on pretty well.
True.
Also showed up at this game with the big old overalls.
Jeez, now that you mention it, and I don't want this to come off as like discrediting Jamal, but almost more so than Jamal. He's like, because he's really, I mean, Jamal is Jamal and he was just relentlessly himself. But A.J. Dillon is like really embraced Wisconsin and like everything about it.
Yeah, it's, you're absolutely right. I guess A.J. Dillon is like a whole, God, I hate what I've become. He is like a whole brand. And Jamal Williams is really like, when he shows up to talk, it's like, that's just who Jamal is. It's mostly like the sound bites and seeing him pregame just warming up being Jamal, you know.
Ooh, so,
Uh-oh.
No, never mind.
Oop, nope, too late.
Well, I was going to say, so is that, do you think A.J. might be like pandering a little bit?
No, I mean, I think AJ's a really smart dude. You know, since his rookie year, too, he's been buying like his rookie cards so that they'll only go up in value. I believe he's a Twitch streamer. He's got his own podcast. Don't listen to that. Only listen to this one. And, you know, he does stuff with Cheesehead TV. Once again, do not listen to that. Only listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing a little bit of everything. But my thought into this game, too, with one, the overall thing, the two touchdowns, and especially just running guys over. Two different real thoughts. One, he is a fan fiction Packers running back at this point. You know, if before he came around, if we had to like put together our Packers running back, it's him. It's a guy showing up shirtless in overalls, running dudes over. And on top of that, the other thing I thought.
Loves Wisconsin and cheese curds.
Yeah, it's like a Madden or anything else where you have like a power up. If it's under 20 degrees, under 32 degrees, whatever, he gets an extra yard or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, automatically. So, and what else can he ask for a Packers running
back? A.J. Dillon, the Packers fan fiction running back. That is perfect.
And to finish that off, too, he did have 14 carries, 63 yards. The two touchdowns, Aaron Jones had 8 carries, 76 yards. And on top of that, too, Aaron Jones did have 5 receptions for 3 yards. A.J. Dillon, 2 for 20. And you know, we talked there a couple minutes about A.J. Dillon. We're not even talking about Aaron Jones, who, in his own right, had a 9.5 average in this game. You know,
yeah.
Just fucking ridiculous.
Really nice runs. I know you kind of very, very light concern about his knee a week or two ago. But that seems to be completely in the past at this point and all systems go.
It's another thing. 3 years ago, I was very, very deathly worried about Aaron Jones' health as a pro.
Honestly feels like a lifetime ago. Like, because I remember, like, whenever he was on the field, it was like, holy shit, this guy's electric. But it was like, he can't stay on the damn field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time remembering that. Like, it was just so long. He's been so healthy.
It's funny how when McCarthy, knock on wood, when McCarthy was trying to protect him is when he was getting more hurt. And now since he's been more of a lead guy, he's been the dude. So, I don't know. Also, other thing with the running backs here, we did see, it's funny, this was like the perfect fucking game, start to finish, for the most part. Like
really,
a lot of,
really good.
A lot of questions
just
got answered.
Just piss-pounding that pathetic franchise.
Things we were worried about.
One seed.
It seems like we don't have to worry about him so much. And things we brought up that we were looking to see. We saw the two running back set came back quite a bit, especially in the first half. So that was fun to see, especially once again, now it's getting colder, to see those guys on the field at the same time. Very excited.
There was one play in particular, and it was just like it might have been a third down, or maybe it was second down, where it was just like it was only like a gain of like 12 yards, but I am still thinking about that play. It was, two back set. One of the running backs came in motion. He fakes the handoff to the left. The motion's going to the right. You know, he pumps to the right. And then it's Lazard over the middle, wide open. Like, there was just so much dressing, so much misdirection and motion, and then an easy completion to Lazard over the middle. And I just think keep using that and keep just making the defense confused.
Yes, very. It's what we were finally looking for. And shit, talk about the running backs. Well, do we want to talk about Patrick Taylor? He looked pretty good when he came in with Jordan Love, too, late. So I don't know if anything ever happens. At least we won't feel completely like we have nothing on the back burner there.
Yeah.
Moving on. Aaron Rodgers, what do you want to say? 29 out of 38, 288 yards.
Best of all, he is the greatest quarterback of all time.
It's stupid. Once again, we're watching like the best receiver quarterback combo in the league right now in Packers history, probably. Well, it is. No complaints. I mean, what, he missed a couple? What do we have anything to talk about with Aaron Rodgers?
In a year of just an insane collection of throws, like so many different throws. I actually think the one in this game was my favorite. It was the very first drive of the game.
From right to left.
Right to left, yep. And it was third down. It was very first drive, and it was that deep ball because the placement was so ridiculous that I think if Devontae just kept running forward without looking for the ball, I think it would have still landed in his hand somehow. Because the way he caught the ball, like, because, you know, they say late hand, and Devontae is
and
the best at
late really
hands.
They're really harping on the late hands.
At late
hand,
but late hands implies that you got to go get the ball somewhere. Like, he did not have to move his hands at all. He was running and had his hands at his torso, and he just, like, all he had to do was put his palms towards the sky, and there was the football. It was just unbelievable. Like I say all the time, he couldn't have handed the ball off more accurate. And that is the living, breathing example of that.
It's, and I thought of it this week too. It's like if you had a picture of the coverage or whatever, like Devontae running and the ball's coming there, it's like you just hand the picture to Aaron Rodgers and he'll, like, you know, think about it. It's like, I'll put it right here. And he'll just point on the picture where it's going to go. And that's where it goes.
Yeah, that's exactly where he'll put it.
Where we're at this point. Moving on to receiver, Devontae Adams. We won't say anything else, but 11 receptions, 136 yards, the one touchdown. Really fucking
good. God, I was really, because I to this day, last week we talked about that insane stat he has where he's had 10 catches, 100 plus yards, and two touchdowns in like 8 plus games. God, he was just one touchdown away from adding another game to that. And like I said, I'm still thinking about that stat and how absurd it is. But yeah, I mean, 11 for 136 and one. And that, like, it didn't even feel like it was like he had a game breaking type of day. Like, it was just another 17.
At this point, like, I'm impressed, but I won't be impressed with Devontae unless he puts up like over 200.
250 yards.
That's just where we're at this point. I like this too. Wes put it out. Obviously, Devontae Adams broke his own record in this game for most receptions for a Packers receiver in the season. Wes Hodkowitz put this out there. Yep, that's it. Whatever. Devontae, that's not what he said. Devontae breaks his own franchise record for single season receptions with that catch. Now has 116. He finished with 117. And he does it in back-to-back seasons. I love that. Alan Lazard quoted this and said, top two, and he both of them. It's like, I've gotten kind of sick of that.
I was just gonna say I'm pretty sick of the top two, not two, but he's top two and he's both of them. That is correct, sir.
The right way to do it. And speaking of Lazard too, 6 receptions, 72 yards, the one touchdown. I mean, I'll say now he's the number two receiver, but that only means the next meaningful game he won't be, because that's how it goes. MVS, you know, the second game back from injury, and he didn't do too much either here. He only had the one catch for 3 yards, which is, I would have thought he'd be the number two guy, but it just does change week in and week out. But Lazard is back to being that third down rock for the most part, the need to catch it. Him too. It's like in the winter, maybe he's a little bit better as well, being that big body guy.
Yeah, I really liked what Rodgers said about him. I think on McAfee today, I just saw the clip where he's just like, you know, there he went through a little bit of a struggle in the middle of the year. I think the Rams game, he missed some opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rodgers was, you know, he said Lazard was disappointed in himself. Rodgers was disappointed in him. And then there was a play, I think he said in like Chicago or Washington game, that it was just like a tough catch, and and Rodgers thinks like that was a turning point that, you know, brought him back on course. And I thought that was super interesting because, yeah, ever since the Rams game and then the game he played well, he's been a stud since.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been stupid. And this is, once again, the right time to get hot. This was the perfect game to have happen towards the end of the season, when in the last couple of weeks we were kind of trailing the other direction for a bit there. Not too much else to talk about with the receivers. EQ, every time he catches the ball now, it's like he's only got 6 receptions on the season. But when he gets it now, I'm like, fuck, I want to see that again. He just looks good when he has the
ball.
Yeah,
do you have one catch, right?
Yeah, just the one catch for 14 yards. Juwan Winfrey had the one catch for 12 yards. Like we said, MBS had the one for three. Not too much there at the back end of the receiver group. Moving on to tight end. Once again, not too much there either. I do like Davis.
Yeah, you said he might be good.
He might be good. I don't know. I thought once he was saying DeGuara was looking good, he's kind of tailed off too. He obviously had that drop in the end zone too, which is, I think, a welcome to winter drop.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Outstretched a little bit in the end zone. You know, once again, if we're being critical of Rodgers, it's like, maybe he's a little too far out, but you obviously have to catch
that. But in the National Football League, yeah. I mean, that's not a perfect ball, but as good as a ball as you could possibly expect in the end zone. Like, wow, I totally forgot about that drop. That was tough to see.
Yeah, and Big Dog was the only tight end not to catch a ball in this game. Even Dominic Dabney got involved.
Probably had like 7 or 8 pancakes, though, so that's he did. Okay.
That's what they say, too. You know, every big run you look, and it's usually Alan Lazard and Mercedes Lewis setting up the blocks there. Offensive line, once again, not too much to talk about. This is the miracle of the 2021 season. I don't know how they're still blocking so well. Once again, we shouldn't have this many tackles that can play this well. We thought Billy Turner was going to be a big loss.
Yeah.
And now when we're talking about these big injuries, like, you know, Rodgers mentioned it too the other week, I think, at the postgame interview for this game. He didn't even bring him up as a guy to come back because it's like, it's assumed he will, but we're not even really missing
him.
Kelly's
playing that well. Yeah. I'm not super equipped to talk about O-line play, really talk about anything, but O-line play especially, but it's just, it's ridiculous when you look at the depth of it. And like, someone broke it down, like, position by position. Like, the left tackle right now is a third string. The left guard right now is a second string. The center is a backup, who I don't even think center is his primary position. Right. The right guard is a second or third
string. He's learned how to snap on the go.
And the right tackle is a third string. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous across the board. And credit to Goody, credit to Stenovich, credit to LaFleur, credit to the whole damn organization, except Mark Murphy.
Yes, there you go. Very good, Kyle. The only thing I'm worried about with the offensive line right now is COVID, because I don't think any of them have had COVID. Billy Turner, I think, went on the list today, actually, which is like a good thing to me, because I'm like, well, if nothing else.
I was going to say, at this point, like, if they were to go on the reserve list and then come off of it, wouldn't they like be exempt from?
Pretty much here on out, yes. Then you wouldn't get tested, and I don't think, you wouldn't test. I don't know how COVID works. But last thing with this game, or on offense, the offensive line here, I did have a stupid thought this week, which happens a lot for me, when I'm like, the whole COVID deal. I'm like, well, what if it does run rampant, like in the playoffs? And it's like, what would happen? And I'm like, here we go. Disney brain going. It's like, all right, David, we didn't want to have you play, but you got to play. Billy Turner coming back. All right, you got to play. Runyon coming back. Oh, I don't know if my knee's good. Oh, come on, you can do it. You can play. Cole Van Lannen, Green Bay native, first NFL start. Come on, you're playing guard, and whoever else at, you know, the other guard position. Yeah. I'm just imagining that going on in the playoffs. I'm like, I am really fucking stupid. I should find something better to do with my time. But
you should start a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it so much. How about that, Kyle? Do you have anything else with this game on offense?
I love it. I love beating the Vikings so much. I love giving them a little crumb, giving them the satisfaction of what they think is a Super Bowl back in November, just to pound them.
It does
when it matters most.
The only thing that sucks is that we almost can't. You know,
oh, because of Sean Mannion. Nope, don't give
well, no,
a
no,
shit.
No, not even that. And Sean, it's weird how he was so bad, but he didn't even have like a single bad play that I could look at and be like, he was terrible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was just like they just got thoroughly dominated.
Yeah,
all across the board.
But what I was gonna say is, we can't almost enjoy this victory as much as we normally would, because it's like, and this is so Packers versus poverty franchise. It's like, oh, we're celebrating the one seed. We don't give a shit that we beat you.
Sent you out of the playoffs. Like, that's just regular for you guys.
Exactly. And with that, we'll have a quick commercial break. All right. Wow. That was a great, product.
I am a big supporter of that product.
Same here. Defense talk here. Once again, Sean Mannion was bad. it's like, and I think I saw someone else say this or something similar to it. It's like if that playoff game against the Vikings with Joe Webb, It's like everything after the first series in that game where it's like just Joe Webb playing quarterback.
Because didn't they go down and score?
It's one of the weirdest things for me thinking
about the Joe Webb game.
I think we've talked about it before too. They marched down the field doing the read option shit.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had got a field goal out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Then after that, they just didn't go back to it. If they would have kept doing that, there's a good chance that they could have beat the Packers that week, because the next week we just got shit on by Colin Kaepernick. But that tells you enough there. But
I'll never forget that Joe, like, someone ran like a 15-yard in, and he sent it like 6 yards short.
Yeah.
And I'll just, that like image is burned into my brain, and I'm very thankful.
I knew going into that game it was going to be a good game for the Packers, because like Vikings fans were like trying to get excited because there was like YouTube workout videos of Joe Webb doing like box jumps or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure this will come
Translate to football for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the defense, what can you say? 10 points allowed, finally, that kind of get back game. Secondary, I don't even know where to start because there wasn't much to talk about.
I say we start with the run defense.
Okay, run defense. What was it that Dalvin Cook finished with? 13 yards on 12 carries, I believe. It was his lowest average since 2018 as well, I believe, or 2019. Second worst game of his career. I think a lot of people, we were a little worried about that. Yeah, I think Sean Mannion.
9 carries, 13 yards.
Okay.
And that just feels like really, really bad play calling, because, I mean, 9 carries? He should have got 9 carries in the first quarter.
True. Yeah, that's true. But
and granted, it was 20-0, it was 13-0 for most of the second quarter. So it's not like it was completely out of reach, but yeah, I'm sure they felt like they had to chase at that point.
I did laugh post game. One of the first things Zimmer said was, "Hey, we got away from the run too early." It's like, dude, you're the last person to ever say that. Like, I kind of get it with, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to argue because only 9 carries with Dalvin Cook, but I mean, he was not doing well. It seemed like just about every series on third down, Devondre Campbell had a tackle that ended the series.
I think I saw, this is so Devondre Campbell. He gave up 5 catches on 6 targets for 22 yards.
Yeah, it's just something like we haven't had.
You catch the ball, and that's where the ball is down. Like, he's just a magnet.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. After, you know, a couple games we had there, we were like, oh, okay, we've come down a little bit here, but just, once again, not much you can really complain about. He's an absolute dog. In coverage, once again, Paul Allen, after the first Viking game, said you put Eric Stokes on Justin Jefferson every game.
For the rest, and he's going to dominate him like he's always done.
And I understand it was Sean Mannion, who is not a good quarterback, but Eric Stokes versus Justin Jefferson in this game. 3 targets, 1 reception, 10 yards, 0 first downs. So there you go. Wow, very good, PA. It's always good when you're, you know, commentary guy is the one who's like starting.
Is not only wrong, but loud wrong.
Yes.
I love when they're loud wrong. They say an opinion with such fervor and conviction, and then they're just, like I said, loud wrong.
Yeah, not even, yeah. I mean, Justin Jefferson is one of the better receivers in the league.
He really is, but Eric Stokes is...
Good game for us.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, he might be better.
We'll see. It is crazy how good our fucking... Well, we can talk about that.
Seamless transition.
Jair Alexander, I think... So if I had a guess right now, I know we talk about injuries every week and it's sad. I think Jair is going to be the one guy to come back. I don't think David Bakhtiari is going to come back. I don't think... So everyone...
If anything, I'm worried. I think Bach might be the one guy of the three, right? Three? Well, I guess four if you count Josh Myers.
Yeah.
The shoulder worries me so much with Jair, because he's a physical dude. Like, when he goes for a tackle, he sends his shoulder, and that's what worries me. And I'm sure it worries the hell out of the Packers, because, I mean, there was the big discussion about surgery. So
yep.
I imagine that is, I guess, vulnerable to some degree.
They did talk about that with Kevin King when he was a rookie too, or it might have been him and Gary. King did get the surgery. Gary had a shoulder thing coming out of college, or maybe that was his elbow. Fuck. But he never got the surgery.
But anyways. Then with Bach, I guess the way the clippings I've seen, the way they've talked about him this week is that He's going to try and practice. He's going to try and get some snaps in the Lions game. And as long as he gets snaps in the Lions game, it's all systems go.
Yes, if he plays Lions game, sure, we're good to go. But
Zadarius, of all of them, I see. It seems like there hasn't been any sort of news on that. So that seems
He hasn't even practiced. And you remember everyone got so excited like 6 weeks ago and he was like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, he came back and he left and came back again. You know, we see once again, you know, you love me talking about Zadarius, but he had to train away, rehab away from the facility on two separate occasions for whatever reason. And we see fucking Robert Tunyon scooting around in his scooter in practice. Scooter. It's like, oh, but Zadarius can't be there. He wasn't voted captain. Whatever, we'll see. I would put Zadarius second for these guys. I think Jair will be back. It's a shoulder, but I don't think that could be a long-term thing. So if you want to risk it for a Super Bowl, why not?
Yeah.
Zadarius, like I said, we'll see.
Then again, he's got a very big payday coming up.
Yeah, that's a good point. They'll probably ask him if he wants to play, to be honest. You know, obviously they wouldn't force him to, but right. You know, something like that. And David Bakhtiari, everyone made a big, you know, on Twitter, it kind of popped off. Seeing the quote that Matt was saying that, you know, he'll practice this week and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it seems very positive. Matt's tone wasn't the best saying this. And I know people love all this little nuance to things, but the way I see it is David hasn't practiced the last 2 weeks because they're like, okay, he needs to play against the Lions. They're not going to just put him out there in a playoff game cold. And I think they waited these last 2 weeks for him not to practice to give it one good rest up, go.
And it's like, this is it. All the chips are on the table here. Like, it's do or die for Bach this week.
That's how I'd see it. So if he practices.
That's a good theory. I like that.
If he practices tomorrow, if he practices Wednesday, I believe they're practicing, and then he doesn't on Thursday, my assumption would be is he is not playing the rest of the year. So we'll see. Are we talking about the defense? We are talking about the defense. Other thing I was going to say, Chris Barnes could have had a pick six if he had the pick six.
Oh, yeah.
There's something in, and I saw Ken Ingles tweet about this, in Rodgers' contract, if we have like three special teams or defensive touchdowns in the year, he has like a $500,000 or $100,000 like payday for Rogers whatever reason. Does? Yeah, so I don't know how that contract got written. Maybe
so special teams or defensive touchdowns?
Yeah,
and there's like three of them. He's already got two, so
yeah.
Interesting.
Once again, I don't know how that contract works. I could be completely wrong, but I read that and thought that was interesting. Interesting.
That is, I would like to know more about that.
Yeah, Gary, speaking about that,
put cheese on everything.
Well, yes, put cheese on everything, but his outside linebacker mate, Preston, he had a sack in this game. Yep. Now, if he gets one more, he will have the 750. So, if he has one sack in this next game, he'll get a payday bonus of $750,000. If he gets three somehow, he will have a $1.5 million bonus.
It's so funny. That's why I love this podcast. Is like, when he got that sack, that's literally the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, shit, he probably only has like one or two more to get a fat payday. Yeah. Love that.
He has 9 sacks on the season. Gary has 9.5 right now. Gary had 7 pressures, led the team. And
Preston had that nice pass breakup on that fourth down.
That's right. And we've always said, you got to put Preston Smith in coverage.
We've long been believers of that.
That's the one thing we've been missing from Mike Pettine's defense. Defensive line. Great things. Once again, Dean Lowry has been very solid. Tyler Lancaster has been solid. Kenny Clark, once again, I mean, he just gets double teamed. That's all you see in the replays.
Januberry, is that what we were going for? No.
Januberry, I don't know. It
doesn't really flow that
way. We haven't really had it this year. I assume his Pro Football Focus grades are great, but he's not showing up in the sacks. But because
he's getting, three blockers on him.
When everyone else is causing pressure, who really cares at that point? Special teams, we can just go over this quick. Once again, I think I said it last week. I'll say it again. We had a bit of an issue on the snap and the hold.
Yep. First extra point. Yep.
Boho, but Mason somehow powered through like the veteran, which he didn't do early on this year. Just kicked it. Somehow was good. Still no missed kicks since Brett Gutis came on the podcast. So hopefully that'll continue going forward. Looks like we have a punt returner, kick returner. Coverage was meh. They had a couple bad kick returns, but overall, I'm feeling, once again, a lot of questions were answered for this team.
Hypothetically, if we were to miss a kick next week,
yes,
do we get our good friend, Mr. Good, for the bonanza?
I think we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just kind of reset the
God, I hadn't thought of that, but you're vibes. Right. Yeah. And just we'll have to say that to him too, and maybe he'll have more of his jolly goodness out into the universe. But
I think overall special teams, nothing. I think there was maybe one bad punt that Corey had.
Yeah, that's right. He did have the shank. Yeah, the first quarter was very good. And then,
of course,
there was
a few good returns by the Vikes where they start at the 35.
But they weren't as bad because they used the stupid sky cam on those returns.
True. Like,
they don't look as bad when that happens. when they're using that as the main camera on kickoff returns and then they like go to camera two, that's when you know it's a really, really bad return. The camera can't follow the returner.
That's so true.
It's been so bad the last couple of years where that's actually happened. So,
oh my God. This is why this is the best Packers podcast. Yeah. You do not get that insight anywhere else. Yeah. That's so true. When it flips to camera two is when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And none of them flip to camera two.
Yeah, subscribe to us. Unsubscribe from everyone else. But yeah, I peeking at the right time after three or four games in a row where, once again, we're complaining about wins, but they weren't winning pretty. This is a pretty win. Run defense looking good. Special teams improving. Red zone defense better. Alan Lazard, blah, blah, blah. Everything's good. Kyle, anything else on this game?
Did I mention I love beating the piss out of the Vikings?
No, I don't think you did.
I love beating that pathetic franchise down, sending them packing. And securing the one seed.
The only negative thing, I think Kirk Cousins will be back next year because he's like, oh, 35.
That's a negative?
Well, not that. That's awesome. That's the best. Like I've always said, keep Zimmer and Kirk together.
Yes.
And I love it because they're going to be 8-9, 9-8 every single year just about. But I wish we would have had cold weather Kirk because that would have made the laughs would have been lower in our belly if this type of game happened, which I think the Packers.
And honestly, I think the only difference the score would have made, like it was 37-10. I think if Kirk plays, it would have been like 37-17.
Yeah, literally.
So,
but that's it for this game. We will have take news here real quick.
Football time. Take news.
All right. Take news. I'm surprised we went long. I didn't have much for notes, but hell, that's just what the Vikings games bring out of us.
What do you like?
Beating
the piss out of that poverty franchise. And I mentioned before that this podcast could go anywhere just because post Vikings win is always a fun journey.
I didn't think of that too, even though you've said it like five times now. But it's like we had a hot piss game and we beat the piss.
Yeah,
out of it. It was just piss all over the place. But back to more normal things. Take news for the week. A lot of people have been talking about it. Rest versus rust.
Yeah.
After the game, Rodgers said he's playing. Devontae said he's playing. Matt said they're probably going to play. Don't know exactly what it's going to be. Sounds like I just said, they're probably going to play a little bit here. Kyle, I'm curious, what do you think going into week 17? Obviously, everything's locked up, playing in Detroit.
I just really love the quote from LaFleur when he was asked about it. And he basically said, you ask 100 different people, they're going to give you 100 different answers.
Yes.
And like, it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of thing. And I think that's basically it. Rodgers, and I agree with Rodgers too. I think he said, you know, he and Devontae too, he's like, he's not super comfortable with the idea of a three week layoff. And, you know, at least go out there and play some. I am completely fine with. And Rodgers, you know, he's a big believer in momentum. And, you know, he said he's in a groove. He feels like he's been in a zone in particular the last, you know, month or two. And 100% agree with all that. But I guess the only thing I would advise against is them playing like all four quarters or even more than two quarters.
Right. And I agree. I would like it to be like two drives or something.
No,
like, honestly,
then,
treat it like
I
a
mean, not even
game.
Two drives, because then that's just almost feels like.
But all it takes is one. You know,
if
one bad thing happens, then that's what they're talking about. And like you were saying too, I think it was Rodgers that actually said it, and he spelled it. I was like, yeah, you could wait, and if you come out flat, you're gonna get shit for it. Or you know, you play guys, someone gets hurt, and you're gonna get shit for it.
Yep.
And to me, yeah, it's kind of the same deal. Devontae Adams, I think, is 16 yards away from beating one of Jordy's records. I think it is yards in a season. If not, it's gonna be
second and seven with 14 minutes and 32 seconds left in the first quarter, and he's gonna break that record. It's gonna be awesome.
Okay. Well, I hope that happens.
I mean, you said 16 yards. That's like
yeah, it's something. Like in this
just
game,
give
too.
It to him in pregame and just like credit, and then he'll, yeah.
Like the first series against the Vikings, too, it was like, okay, slow, slow. And then all of a sudden it was like a 16-yard pickup.
Yeah, the deep ball.
Like,
all
right, there we go.
You have to move his hands.
That's all you need, yeah. And I go back to it, too, because a lot of people are, you got to like, I think Jason Wilde's been pushing for resting these guys. And it's like, we should be the one team. I know we've had Brian Bulaga in the preseason, Jordy Nelson in the preseason with their injuries. But we're also the team that has 2011 against the Giants. And even this damn year, I know it's a little bit different, but coming out without much preparation, without much on-field experience against the Saints, we all saw how that happened. So having that, that's a little different, but still to have that happen in this season and to still maybe if you were to rest all your guys, I think that would be a mistake. So we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah, I think maybe that's where I'm at is I think a full complete rest is I don't know if I'm super comfortable with that.
And at this point,
3 weeks, like that's just like the college football playoffs were this weekend, and like those kids had a month off, and it's like I forgot the four teams in the college football. No, I'm kidding, but like it's just like you almost forget about it. It's like
right,
so much happens between then and 3 weeks. That's a long time.
And on top of it too, it's not like this is a hot first quarter team. You know, that's what's funny too. If they come out in the divisional round and don't, you know, put up 6 points in the first quarter or something, people are going to be like, oh, well, they're awfully slow. And it's like, have you not been watching all year?
Because exactly.
We're one of the, like, not worst, but that is like our worst quarter is the first
Literally,
quarter.
Honestly, at this point, like any points scored in the first quarter are a win to me.
Yeah.
And that'll be the case in the playoffs too.
Because you know the second quarter and third quarter. Like this game too, I feel like we put up like 17 points in the last 5 minutes of the first half. Just stupid. But with that, Kyle, you ready to... Is Kyle an idiot?
Oh.
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right, is Kyle an idiot for the week? Kyle, I have you down as 27-18-1, whatever. It's probably not accurate, but that's
right.
Where you're at.
All right.
Are you ready for your three questions?
Yes.
All right, Kyle, what is greater?
Oh.
What is a higher number?
Yeah,
Jordan
that's
loves,
what greater than.
Jordan Love's passing yards on the season or Alan Lazard's receiving yards on the season?
Ooh. I mean, he threw for like 210, I think, against Kansas City. He's got to have more than. I'm going to go Lazard's receiving yards. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Yep, very good. Alan Lazard has 438 receiving yards. Jordan Love only has 277 passing yards.
Okay. And so I think he had like, what, 230 or something maybe in KC?
Yeah, I thought he was right around 200, and he had 19 yards in this game.
He slanged a little bit. Oh, yeah. He slanged it for 19.
Played a little bit against the Saints, too, week one. Okay. But yeah, Alan Lazard is our second leading receiver now. He has 438. MVS has 431, I believe. But yeah, there you go. Very good.
Ooh, the race for wide receiver, too.
Honest, every week.
Week
it's
18,
like different.
I love it.
It'll be like Aaron Jones, Alan Lazard, MVS. It's just always a battle with those guys.
All right.
Number two. Kyle, Devontae Adams leads the Packers in receptions with 117. Like I said, the record. Who is second in receptions on the team?
Man, that's tough. And I don't think it's going to... Lazard has... He hasn't played every game. Has he? No.
Yeah, he's banged up. Oh, he had Coco, too.
Yeah.
Sorry. The Coco. Is that bad? I'm sorry. It's been a rough year for all of us. Can I say one more bad thing?
Yeah,
I want to say
please.
One more bad thing. This is a joke, but it's also like 1% serious. We've got 3 weeks here after this Lions game. You're going to know where I'm going with this. Kyle, you remember growing up when like parents had the chicken pox parties?
Yeah. No, but yeah.
So, you know, and people, you know, so your kids would get the chicken pox and get it over with. You just have
natural immunity.
Pox.
Yeah.
We should just do that with COVID with this team.
Honestly,
sorry.
I'm glad you said it because I was thinking it.
It's, you know, don't do it, but also because obviously complications happen. A.J. Dillon really struggled with it last year, but it's like, it'd be so nice not to have to worry about that. But back to.
Yeah, I don't know if we should include this.
It's too late. It's already in. It's a joke. This is satire. Kyle, who has the second most receptions?
Good disclaimer. I would feel stupid guessing Aaron Jones, but yeah, no, I'd feel stupid guessing.
I am fully vaccinated and I have my booster, by the way.
There's just so there's so many.
It's true.
There's so many like zero reception, one reception MVS games, and the same with Lazard. But I feel like Jones is always good for 3-4 catches. I'm gonna go with my gut. Aaron Jones.
Very good, Kyle. Yes, it is Aaron Jones. It's weird how just because everything else, like the, you know, AJ Dillon coming up again, it's like we forget how once again we are numb to greatness. We are numb to Aaron Jones. He's the second. God, where is it here? He's got the second most receptions on the team with 52.
Yeah, and Lazard is the third with 35. So he's got 17 more. That's quick math.
A weapon, like Aaron Nagler, I believe, says he's just a weapon.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, very good. 2-0 so far, Kyle. This is the tough one, though. Kyle, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 4 interceptions this season.
Ooh.
He obviously threw 2 against the Saints. Can you name one of the other 2 teams Rodgers threw a pick against?
Oh, this is a tough one. I'm going to...
What are you doing? No.
I'm just going to pull up the schedule.
No, do not scroll.
I can't do that.
Oh, okay. You can do that. Tick, tock, tick.
Oh, wow. This is tough.
We did play the Lions this year. We played the Vikings. We played the Bears.
Didn't we?
We played our division. Yep.
Oh, wow. This is a really tough...
I'm not sure if I would have gotten
this
one.
I don't think I'll... Oh,
one team I definitely wouldn't have guessed. The other one, I'm like, okay.
I mean, the guy's thrown 4 interceptions.
Once again, you like forget about it. Like, yeah, like that. It's like 35 touchdowns and 4 picks. It's like that is just
like
ridiculous.
I wonder what this like. I forget what the stress is like watching a quarterback that is, you know, at risk of doing that. Like I've completely removed that worry from my brain when I watch 12. Like I can't imagine watching like. Jameis Winston every drop back and just being like
Or Brett Favre. Yeah. But it's I thought of it too where it's like he's always been good at not throwing picks, but especially like once him and McCarthy were kind of, you know, had their thing going on, it's like Rodgers was playing to not be the reason for losing
on
offense. Like legitimately, and it's just
and that's
stuck.
What yeah. Yeah, that's what caused all the throwaways and the yeah. I'm just going to go... Wait, do I have to guess the team or the player?
Just the team.
Okay. I'm going to go just because it was such a weird game. I'm going to go Cincinnati.
Very good, yes. Kyle. Yeah, good. That's the one that I think I would have guessed because I believe
it
he threw it like the first quarter and it was a bad ball.
Yeah.
Just really bad. The Seahawks game, I do not remember that pick.
Oh, he threw a pick in the Seahawks game?
Yeah, it was Cincinnati and Seattle.
Huh.
So there you go.
Interesting. Great question.
Yeah,
3-0.
Good answer.
All right. Do you know the name of the player on Cincinnati?
Could not tell you. I'm sorry. Okay. This is kind of I've been busy with work this week. Tough to. This has been a great episode, though, don't you think?
I agree. Yeah, it's been great. Great rip.
Cool. Do you have a Stump Spenny? That means no.
No, I was just going to think of one on the spot because we were rolling so well. And now.
Well, I was going to say, oh, well, there you go. Now it took a hit.
I'll have one for Bonanza. I might have a couple.
Perfect. Yeah, once again.
Actually, that's 2 weeks away. So, but yeah, I'll definitely.
We have to keep doing this podcast, if nothing else. Every year we've done the podcast, we have had a first round bye. So we've had.
That is honestly like
stupid.
Credit to us.
Yeah, we have to just keep it going. With that, Kyle, the preview of the Lions game, a game we're really looking forward to, our second preseason game of the year.
Yeah, do we even really need to? Yeah, what do we even really? What is the spread, by the way?
I'm not going to go over it too much. The Lions are 2-13. The Packers are 2.5-point favorite right now on the road.
Yeah, you don't even have to do the good against the run, good against the...
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really cares.
Yeah, 43-point over-under in the game. Not too much to talk about. Yeah, you just look at the Lions stats and everything is red. Everything is, you know, 30th run or defense in the red zone, 28th third down, 25th in passing yards, 28th and, you know...
Nice. So I said you didn't have to do that, but
yeah,
you did it.
Yeah,
nice.
I was going to... Oh, that is weird, though. They're 28th in rushing yards, 30th in passing or yards per play, and then 9th in points, which is kind of good.
Hmm.
But yeah, it sounds like it'll be our boy Tim Boyle.
Wait, this can't be. You're looking at Sports Action, aren't you?
Yeah.
It says the Packers are 32nd in points.
Yeah, God, you know, they've been bad the last couple weeks. Last week, two in the preview.
Wait, no. 30. Oh, you're talking about Sports Action, not the Packers. I was going to say, there's no way they're 32nd. Oh.
Yeah, sorry, we're all over the place. Yeah, because last week, too, I forgot who it was. Well, it was the Vikings, and it was saying, like, they had so many points. They're like a top 5 points team, and I'm like, that's not true.
There's no way.
It's like, no, it wasn't true. But yeah, Lions aren't good. I mean, who's even playing for them at this point? I believe Swift is back. Jamal Williams, I believe, is playing for him too.
Boyle started last week. Is he going to get the nod again?
Everyone's been saying, you know, Jordan Love versus Tim Boyle, which would be pretty fucking cool.
I would love that.
Is that a pun on purpose? No.
Oh, I actually, that was not intended.
Right.
When I intend puns, I let you know about
They're
it.
They're the better, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I ruin it because I, like, point it out afterwards. The best jokes are the ones you have to tell people.
Right.
You know, you tell them explain. Why it's funny at the end. The Lions, how do you say his name? Is it Amma St. Brown? EQ's brother?
No. Yeah. Let's just go St. Brown. Little St. Brown.
He is shorter, too, and a better receiver somehow. It's crazy that you could be shorter than EQ and still be a good receiver. That's a great joke there, too. But, yeah, Lions are bad. I mean, I haven't even thought of this game. The only thing I'm thinking about is coming out healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm rolling with. Kyle, do you have any big thoughts on this marquee game?
I mean,
we're playing at noon.
I have absolutely zero. Well, I guess my one thought is I just want to see Love. I just want to see him spin it. And
yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, just, I guess, yeah, let the guys play the first quarter and, yeah, then just hand it over to 10 and let him sling it. I just, God, it feels so good to just not really have to worry about this game yet, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I'm worrying about is, what do you say, biting ankles, biting kneecaps? Was
oh,
that
yeah,
what
biting
said?
Kneecaps, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they don't go after any kneecaps in this game.
Yeah.
Honestly, like the pregame handshake, I hope LaFleur goes up to, God, what's his name now?
Dan Campbell.
Up to Campbell and say, hey, can we like keep it easy?
Yeah,
like,
but to the defense of Dan Campbell, he seems like a real straight shooter, straight up guy who loves football and plays it the right way. I just think... He meant kneecaps in more of a mentality way. Oh. He didn't mean like, you know, remove your kneecap so you need season-ending surgery. It's just like we're gonna bruise your kneecap so it hurts to walk tomorrow.
Okay, well, shit, we got a couple days.
You know,
maybe
it's a spectrum.
I'll try to get in on a Zoom meeting with the press conference with him, and I'll try to get to the bottom of
it. Do you have access to that?
I don't know, but I am a master hacker. I mean, I edit Ooh. This podcast, so it can't be much different
True.
Than that.
Yeah, it's very similar. Okay, yeah, let me know. I'll piggyback and join you if you have room.
Perfect. The other thing I was thinking about with this too, getting to the end of the year here, could we have had, it's not even knock on wood, but it's a pretentious Packer fan thing. Could we have had a better season to this point, legitimately, aside from like the injuries? Could these games have gone any better?
No.
The one game he didn't show up was the first game of the year.
Yeah.
That's the one you'd kind of want to not show up for, because since then it's been fucking awesome.
It really is amazing. And just like reflecting on just the absolute hell this offseason was. From,
right.
From April like 23rd or whatever it was, all the way till September 12th. Was yeah. just absolute. Well, not September 12th because he was back prior to
sure,
then. So
August,
we'll say August
whatever.
1st.
There we go.
April to August was just absolute misery. Any sort of football information or content was just
sad.
Rogers. Yeah. And he's gone.
Well,
he's gone. He's not coming back.
We had the couple weeks of watch of JJ Watt. Remember that? Remember when the offseason was simple?
Oh, yeah. And it was like March, and it was just like, yeah. Oh, are we going to pay $15 million for JJ Watt? Ooh.
And then it was like, ooh, are we going to get to even pay Aaron Rodgers this year? Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, DeMonte Campbell, that's a cool ad. Oh, that's
yeah, cool.
Hey, some inside
right
linebacker depth.
Yeah. Oh, another gopher. Yeah. Oh, whatever. And then, you know, now we're to the point where we have the bye week, what we wanted. To hopefully see Jordan Love play the majority of this game.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, like it really is when you like truly ponder it. This season could not have gone better. But if only the only way this season could have gone better is if the Vikings lost their Super Bowl.
That is literally it. Yeah, if we would have. That's the only thing.
And maybe better
literally
health.
The only thing that could be better is if we swept the Vikings and, I don't know, I'd even get rid of one of the other wins we had. Maybe, you know, throw the Bears a bone. I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
To one of them.
Yeah, I would swap that out. For sure.
At Soldier Field, sure, whatever. But all right, yeah. Kyle, with all that being said, that was a lot to take in there, guys. What is your score prediction for this quote-unquote football game?
The Lions, they're such a prideful bunch. Ooh, that's a pun.
See, now you ruined
it. I actually didn't intend that. But that's pretty good.
Lions have pride.
They're a very prideful bunch. I mean, truly, I did not intend that, but that was a bar.
I saw a lion a couple weeks ago in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
I was at the zoo.
Ooh.
That's the zoo that has, they had a giraffe for the longest time. It died in 2008. It had a crooked neck. Have you ever seen this before?
Crooked neck?
No. Yeah. Yeah, so I saw a lion. I saw a couple lions there, but that giraffe is dead. You can keep going with your score.
There's no way I'm the first person to suggest this, but I think we need to reverse zoos, where we need to be the ones in a cage, just letting them roam and spectate.
Hell yeah, bro. We live in a society, man. You know? Who's really in the cage?
Or is that just a safari? I think that's just a safari. I think I just invented a safari.
The San Diego Wild Animal Park has like a giant exhibit where it's like, you know, it's like acres and acres long. It's just like, you know, giraffes and
that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay.
That's the giraffe.
Oh, wow. That neck is crooked as hell.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, I thought it was going to be like a slight bend or something.
No, that thing lived like a full life,
too. That is a right angle.
Yeah, so if you're at home, just Google crooked neck giraffe and you'll see the crooked neck giraffe. This is the best Packers podcast out there.
That's amazing. Anyways, I think the Lions are a prideful bunch. That's the third time I'm going to say that pun. And I think they're going to play close. I don't know what their draft standing is, but Dan Campbell strikes me as a guy who does not give a single fuck about that going into this game.
Yep.
And I think they'll play it close, especially because a lot of the backups for the Packers will be in towards the end of the game. So I'm going to say 24-21, the Packs still pull it out.
Fuck.
24-21.
Okay. Kyle, I'm going to go with my prediction. I also had a score of 24-21.
All right.
I'm just going to go with it.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
I don't think so.
And I'm cool with
usually I say it first, and then if you were going to say it, you'll reverse it. But I'm like, this game doesn't even matter. 24-21. Kyle, what is your bold prediction?
Wait,
for this
game? You saying 24-21 the Lions?
No, game? Packers. Oh, I'm okay. Saying Packers.
Bold prediction. I'm not going to be cliche and predict that Jordan Love throws six touchdown passes like Matt Flynn. Don't worry.
That game was at Lambeau anyways. This is in Detroit, so there's no way it could happen, right?
I'm going to... Ooh.
Right. That'd be fucking stupid.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say Jordan Love... Oh, actually, this reminds me of the scramble play he had.
That was sweet. I
he
forgot
looked like a baby
that.
Deer.
I loved it, too, because...
His legs just, like, flailing about.
Hey,
oh,
he,
that was
he
funny.
He got it. I was
oh,
impressed
Oh, no, yeah,
with
he got it. I loved
plays.
It, but he just looked like a baby deer learning how to run.
I like it, too, because I'm obviously the Packers social media guy, like, you know, reading way too much into it. Because, you know, he's on Instagram. He still posts. He's like, yeah, Packers won, whatever.
Yeah,
even
nice.
Though he's not really part of it. But then this week, he got to post, you know... Him giving the first down
so yes.
in his IG post. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yes.
Man, that's the shit we like to see.
Love it. So yeah, I'm going to.
That was a pun too.
I'm going to. Yeah. Well, okay. The love
I'm
puns.
Hating, were, I'm hating us more and more. Yeah.
He's going to run one in and throw one.
Okay.
Is that bold enough?
I think that's fine. Yeah.
Run one,
it.
Throw one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
run
good.
One, throw one. I have a Jordan Love one too.
Ooh. I don't think we've ever done this before either.
No, probably not. I have Jordan Love is going to lead the Packers in the fourth quarter for the go-ahead field goal.
Love that.
I'm going to say the go-ahead field goal, you know, with like so much time. I'm not going to say
oh
as time
God.
Expires,
but
for like, but it could happen.
I see what you're saying.
But I'm going to say he's going to lead them to the game-winning field goal in this game.
Oh, my
the
God.
Perfect, the honestly perfect cap.
The absolute
Packers
ideal scenario. And, yeah, the narratives. Ooh, the narratives that would start up from that. Ooh, I'm getting tingly just thinking about it.
It would be great. It would be great. But with that, that's all we have for a preview of that stupid Lions game, everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or Spotify, that would be cool. Also, thank you for leaving reviews on Spotify already. We've gotten a handful, so that's pretty cool to see people
yeah,
actually
listening. You're all so beautiful if you leave a review. It's thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's audio format. We can't see one another, but you guys are so beautiful for doing that.
It's true.
If you leave a review, too, I think you can on Spotify if you listen, or even on Apple, too. We haven't had one on Apple in a while, so I don't know. If you've been thinking about doing it, just do it. We'll read any review you leave on either site as Please. Well, no matter how positive or negative
they are. Be critical.
Yeah, we'll bring up Tom again. He left a bad iTunes review. And
honestly, I thought it made us better.
It has. Yeah, well... I think so. Yeah, we've kind of been a little less all over the place as we were early on with Hank, but we obviously love him and can't wait for him to be back.
Miss you, Hank.
But yeah, shit. Kyle, I think that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
I just love beating the Vikings.
Yeah. Do you like shit? I almost said shit pissing them.
Beating the piss out of. Burying them, nail in the coffin.
Joe burying them.
All the, ooh.
I hate. Yeah, there I guess it is. We got to stop.
No, that was good. That was all good. Right,
well, that's no more puns.
Be prideful.
I don't have anything else. Kyle, you don't have anything else.
One seed.
That was
my last thing. Ask me again.
Kyle, you have anything else?
I do not.
I thought you were going to say one seed. Okay. With that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Go back, go.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. And then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. And I said, hey now. Baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. You can take the job or shove it. Cause I ain't working here no more. I ain't rich, honey, you wanna stay with me? Yeah, you're gonna stay poor, darling, I don't really care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. Oh. I said, hey now, babe, I'm going deeper down in debt. I got a six pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes.
Hello, I'm sorry. Hello, hello. Okay, now we're probably good. Can you do it too?
Hello, hello, hello. Yep, we're good.
What did you have for lunch?
What did I have for? Oh, the Lunch and Barley's hot food bar. And I got a steak.
Ooh, well, no, you I got a steak at a hot food?
Sorry, I got the hot food, but then I bought a steak for dinner later. But I probably won't have it for dinner tonight.
You are a big steak guy now. When I see like a steak,
fucking obsessed.
Yeah,
I actually like. Usually I have, think like, about one steak so much now. Like I think about it a lot. I'm thinking about going carnivore.
One of the.
That's not a joke. That's for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought of that too when I was doing the ketosis diet before.
Oh, you like, have done.
Yeah, me and
I mean
Vic were doing
it
before
can't
Vegas.
You just like eat fucking beef like crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things is they say.
But that's
for
like
your heart.
People who want to lose weight, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True.
And I don't really.
There's other. Yeah.
Not to brag. Well, you've
been beefing up though the last couple
yeah,
of years.
Yeah. No, I want to keep beefing. I don't want to keep de-beefing.
Before leaving California, I did stop in Santa Barbara. I was like, "Fuck, I need to get a gift for Tori." And there was like a olive oil place, so I went there and got rosemary olive oil because we like putting rosemary on our steaks.
Very
sometimes.
Nice. Stay so away from seed that. Oils. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And that was steak talk.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.